Good morning and happy Sabbath. Oh, they're alive and well. Welcome to the Spangle and Upper Columbia Academy Adventist Church. We're glad to have you here today. I see some visitors, parents, those probably coming to hear the last of the talks in our fall week of prayer with Lawrence Thompson. We're glad to have you here, and we want to especially welcome those visiting. If you're looking for a church home, we'd like to think that this would be a good fit for you. So if you're looking for a church home, please consider this as a very good option. Our scripture reading this morning, if you'll turn with me in Mark 11:24, and I was just going to ask Lawrence if I could take this liberty, but I'm going to take this liberty, Lawrence. As you may know, if you've read through this recently, this is on Tuesday morning, just before Jesus' crucifixion. Monday morning, on his way into Jerusalem before cleansing the temple again, he sees this fig tree that in the story ends up representing unfruitful people or an unfruitful nation, and he curses it. And if you remember, Tuesday morning he comes back to the very same fig tree, and what's happened to the fig tree? Yeah, it's dead, wilted. Freaks all the disciples out. And they're like, wow, So I'm going to step back with just one verse from our scripture verse, Lawrence, because they're just shocked at this fig tree. And Jesus says, have faith in God. I'm starting at 23. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt of God's power in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. And then the last verse, but when you are praying, first forgive everyone or anyone that you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. What power is available to us as Christians? All the power of the universe is available to us in our spiritual walk if we'll but claim it and realize that God is faithful. As we begin the rest of our service here, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, creator of everything that is, we're here to worship you today. We're here to worship you as our creator, as our redeemer, as our Lord, and our soon coming King. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here and fill this place. The theme of this year in our conference and in our school is to have your Spirit fill us, to be poured out upon us, and help us to be soul survivors. Father, we want to come into your presence today in such a way that we are transformed and that we are set on fire for you. Please speak through Lawrence. May his words be yours, and may we be drawn closer to you and become more like you from our time spent here together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Dear God Almighty, we just want to praise your name. Lord, we are human and we make mistakes, and we just ask that you will forgive us our sins. Lord, you know our hearts and our thoughts and our desires, and you know our burdens and the things that are weighing us down that we need help with. And I just ask that you answer all of these requests according to your will, Lord. Please be with Lawrence as he preaches. Please give him the words that you want us to hear. Please fill this room with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Keep us from evil. Protect us from Satan, Lord. Please bless everyone here and their families. Thank you for the sunshine and that it's Sabbath and we can be here to worship you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
As many of you are aware, we have enjoyed a wonderful week of prayer this last week. I want to let you as a church congregation know whether you were here last night. If you weren't here last night, I want you to know that more than 50 kids came forward last night, of our students came forward and said that they wanted to rededicate their lives to Christ, or that they wanted to get baptized or rebaptized. And we know that so far alone, I've talked to about 7 to 10 students who want to be either baptized or rebaptized, and some people just keep letting us know, and so we I think that there are going to be a number of other baptisms. We've been really blessed with our week of prayer speakers. Back at camp meeting this last summer, one of my responsibilities at camp meeting was to take pictures and go around and do stuff, and I happened to be walking past the youth tent and just heard the tail end of Lawrence Thompson talking to the youth. And I was, at the time, looking for a week of prayer speaker, and I was being a little bit picky. I was looking for a certain type of person, and Lawrence had just, the Holy Spirit just, it felt like the Holy Spirit just said, that's your guy right there. And standing here today, there's zero doubt in my mind that that was the Holy Spirit talking. You've been a blessing on this campus. God uses people who aren't qualified. You don't have to go to the seminary. You don't have to have a degree. You just have to be willing. And Lawrence, you've been willing this last week. And I've been really appreciative of what you've done. One of the things that Lawrence said to me as we were talking about this week of prayer is he said, I really would like to see it be a week of prayer and not just a week of me speaking. And we experimented this week. It was the first time we'd ever really tried to have prayer as a major part of our week of prayer. Usually it's just been the speaker and we pray before they speak and after. This year we did what we call united prayer during our morning meetings. And after kind of figuring things out a little bit, it really worked well. And it's been special and we've seen some amazing things come out of it. And Tiana, I have been so grateful for your love of prayer and how you inspire the rest of us to love prayer and not just to pray together, but to pray in our closets too. You have really added a depth to this week of prayer that hasn't been there before. Not because we didn't have amazing speakers, but because we haven't been praying in a major way. If you have been blessed by Tiana and Lawrence, would you say a real big amen for me?
Amen. Amen.
Those of you who did not have the opportunity to be here and be blessed, you're going to be blessed this morning by what God is going to say through Lawrence. And so thank you so much to both of you. I'd like to introduce him to you. Students, bear with me a little here. There are people here who don't know who Lawrence is, so I'd like to just kind of ask him a few questions so that everybody knows him, and then he will kind of begin his sermon. So, Lawrence, did you grow up a Seventh-day Adventist?
No.
But I understand you're like a fourth or fifth generation Adventist, though.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, like you just said, fourth and fifth generation Adventist, that's what I was, but my parents never went to church. My mom's Japanese, so her background was Buddhist, and my dad was a Seventh-day Adventist, but he never went to church. So he never went to church. My mom never went to church, so I didn't go to church. And then they were divorced at the age of two, and then there were separate households. So that's pretty much.
Okay. In a nutshell, why do you have a passion for youth?
Man, because I didn't have somebody in my life growing up to really mentor me and show me, you know, there's another way that you can go. You don't have to go this way. And so through my experience and through my life of trials and, you know, disobedience, I learned that, you know, the Lord wanted me to give what I didn't have to the youth. And so that's why I have a passion for youth, is to basically give what I didn't receive growing up.
So would you say that your testimony is maybe a little different than most of the rest of our testimonies here?
Maybe just a little bit.
What do you think makes your testimony different?
That's a hard question. Man, see what he does to me on the spot. What makes it different?
Like, tell me what, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, in a nutshell, where you've been, where you've come from to be here today.
Well, in a nutshell, my past life, I've been out of jail for about a year and like 2 months now. The life I was living before this was just living a street life, being a gangbanger on the streets, but not so much just a gangbanger, it's just like a hustler, selling a lot of drugs. A lot of drugs, crystal meth, crack cocaine, marijuana, and also I had a, you know, like an illegal escort service, if you will, going on for me, and robbing people, using drugs every day. That was my past life.
So you have been clean and off the streets for a year. What brought about that change?
United Prayer. Amen. United Prayer. About a year ago, I was talking to this brother out there, and they had a SoCal camp meeting. You guys know what SoCal camp meeting is? That's where I met Ivor Myers at. But one day I was walking, and I had just got out of jail, and I had my long old hair, and it was braided. And I was chasing. I always liked kids, so I was playing tag with some kids, and I was running through the main auditorium. Well, to the right, they had a prayer room. So I went through the doors to try to run from the youth, and then there was a lady that came out of nowhere and said, she was an Asian, Korean lady, and she says, "Oh, you come to pray?" And I said, "Sure, I'll pray. I'll just pray for a minute." So I'm thinking she's just going to pray for me, and then I'm going to go finish playing with the youth. Well, I got in there, and they had United Prayer going, where you adoration, where you confess your sins, where you basically, can't think right now for some reason, but supplication, and then praise and thanksgiving. And so when I got in there in that prayer room, that's really what changed my life, United Prayer. So prayer is why I'm here today, because I had people praying for me, interceding for me, and because I emptied my heart out to the Lord, and I entered into his presence a year and a half, about a couple months ago.
And in the time in between then and now, Lawrence is a graduate of Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
You got that right? And he's also helped the church plant up in Mead that Amazing Facts was just working with here in Spokane, just outside of Spokane, North Spokane. He's been the Bible worker for them, helping them that happen. And on his way, he's headed now back down to Sacramento to marry his sweetheart.
Yeah.
And so,
amen.
We're real thankful that Lawrence has had the opportunity,
yes,
to let God give him a taste of what his future is going to look like by coming and speaking with us. Because I really believe with my whole heart, Lawrence, that God has anointed you to preach. That he's anointed you to be one of his servants. And my prayer for you is that you will remain true to that calling. And I know that you are going to bless us with God's word today.
Amen. 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 I give all glory to God, and I praise him, and I thank him so much for where he has brought me from. Oh, it's been a long journey, just like this past week through the journey of Jonah. I want to end today, you know, a little bit on the story of Jonah. But I'm going to pray in just a moment. But you guys know, some of you guys don't know, but in the beginning I asked the students, I said, you guys need to pray for me. I said, because I had made notes for every single day when I come, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I have notes. And I'm gonna preach these notes that I made, and I prayed for these notes. And when I got here and I got to meet some of the students, the Lord said, "You're not using those notes." I was like, "What? Lord, what do I do?" So I go to Pastor Ken, and Pastor Ken was looking at my notes. He said, "Yeah, I didn't want to say anything to you, but yeah, those notes probably won't work with this group." And I was like, "What?" So I had to fully depend on God. I had to believe. And so, you know, the title today is just believe, trust in God. And so let me pray. Let me pray really fast, okay? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just for this opportunity. And Lord, where you have brought each and every one of us, Lord, we all have a path here that where you have brought us from, and we're all in here, Father. You've brought us out of darkness and brought us into this marvelous light. And I just pray that, Lord, you will empty me of self and you will speak through me, Father. And that we just want to invite your presence and your Holy Spirit, Father, to fill this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Man, I'm sorry, I'm just so excited this morning. The reason why I have this scripture, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Mark 11:24, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe them and you shall to receive them. So this is my favorite scripture. Let me tell you a story real fast. After I left SoCal camp meeting, I attended Army Bible camp. Well, I was still in trouble with the law, as far as I'm still on felony probation right now. And there were some things that I had to still take care of, and I had to go do some jail time after I left Army Bible camp before I went to Amazing Facts. And I was like, man, God, I don't want to go back to jail, you know? And so I had to only do a short time, only 4 days this time. But along with these, me being disobedient, you know, there was consequences. And I was out on double bail. I had to do work project. I had to be on ankle monitor. And all that stuff is very expensive. And so I prayed and I said, man, Lord, I can't afford this. I gave up everything, you know. I gave up the cars, the houses. I was touching anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 a month. And now I have nothing. All I did, I just accepted you in my life. And I said, man, how am I going to come up with this money to pay for this debt that I accumulated from my disobedience? I said, Lord, please have mercy on me. And I remember talking to my pastor, Arthur Brenner, and he said, do you believe that God will take care of this debt for you? I said, yeah, I think I believe. And then, so I just said, you know what, God, I don't really know how to believe, but I'm just going to believe and have faith in you. And then I prayed and I said, okay, God, please help me so that I could just find some money to take care of this debt, because it calculated up to $3,900 and I didn't have nothing. Well, the only thing that I had left of, I had lost pretty much everything because I had went to jail again and lost everything. I had some gold teeth. This sounds funny. But I had some white gold teeth, top and bottoms, and I had 50 rubies in there. And I said, oh, I can just go cash these in, and this will pay for the money. And so I went to cash them in, and man, they really just burnt me. I spent so much for these things, and I felt like it was like I spent $100, and they only gave me a penny for it. So when I cashed the money, and I was like, man, this is nowhere near enough for me to take care of this debt. So I prayed and I said, Lord, please help me. So I ended up praying this, and then the next day I met a guy. He works in Adventist Health. He's actually the president of Adventist Health. His name is Bob Carman. He kind of adopted me into his family. And he said, he was asking me, I didn't really know who he was. I didn't know his title, but he started asking me like, well, how much do you owe? And I said, man, $3,900. I don't know how I'm going to come up with this. And so him and his wife gave me a ride. They gave me a ride, and when they dropped me off at my friend's house, his wife, like they were planning this, you know what I mean? I'm in there, and they're asking me questions, and she's sitting in the back seat, and I keep seeing them look through the rearview mirror, and they're communicating to each other. And so when I get out the car and I say bye, I'll see you later, she goes to shake my hand, and then I was like, wow, what is this? And I said, can I look? And she said, yes. It was a piece of paper. And when I opened it, it was a check for $3,900, the exact amount I needed to take care of my debt. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, I desire to want to change my heart and give my life to the Lord. And when you desire that, God will take care of your people, right? He says, I mean, he's the same God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, he owns the hills too. Amen? God takes care of his people. You know, and so I was just so blessed and excited. And as I was going through the story of Jonah, if you turn with me to Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5, I just want to focus on one thing. We went through the book of Jonah this whole time, and I just want to share something with you guys. Jonah 3, verse 5. It was very important, and the Lord gave this to me this morning because I was like, man, what do I preach on? Lord, just help me. You know, I have no notes. And so it says, so the people of Nineveh, what? Believed God. The people of Nineveh believed God. Jonah had this message and said, guess what? The city is going to be overthrown in 40 days. 40 days, this city is going to be overthrown. But the people believed. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, in this word of God, the the Lord says that he's going to destroy sin, right? He's going to destroy sin. And so do we really believe that? The people of Nineveh believed. They said, you know what? We believe. Jonah is serious. Jonah was preaching the word. He was preaching the word of God, and they believed. Do we believe? Do we really believe in this word of God? Do we really believe that this is Jesus speaking to us? Brothers and sisters, man, this right here is so precious. When I read this, I'm like, whoa, whoa. They believed. Do we really believe what God says he can do, he will do? And so God gave this to me. Me and my friend Brian, he's one of the Bible workers, and he was helping me with the North. We were working together for the North View Church plant, and we were having struggles on believing a little bit. You know, we were like, man, okay, I believe, because there were people that were sick in the church, people with cancer, people with fibromyalgia, and we're like, man, we're having these prayers. Why aren't they being healed? Why aren't they being healed? We're like, man, they must not believe. They don't believe in God, because if they believed, then they would be healed. Because as we go, we were going through the scriptures, and we were like, well, see, every time Jesus healed everybody, brothers and sisters, we missed the point. Jesus was healing them from their sins. When he healed them, he said, go and sin no more. So I'm thinking, okay, well, when we have these united prayers and when people are praying, God, please take this infirmity away. The Lord said, what about Paul? He didn't take Paul's physical infirmity away, right? He didn't fully take it away. What he took away his spirit of being rebellious, his spirit of running from the Lord and fighting against the Lord. And so God told me that that's what it's all about. Remember, Jonah didn't understand that salvation was of the Lord. You follow me? Salvation is of the Lord. You got to believe. And basically, so me and my friend Brian, I called him this morning. I was like, Brian, we messed up. We missed it. It's not about being healed of your physical infirmity or your physical weakness. It's about being healed spiritually. Amen? Spiritually. Because you know what? I mean, you can be sick and you can have fibromyalgia and your whole body aches. But if you're holding on to a sin and you're asking God to forget, to cleanse you and heal you from that infirmity, is he going to heal you from that? His primary focus is to put you in the kingdom, right? He wants to, that's why Jesus came down here to die for us, right? So that we can be forgiven for our what? Sins. But if we have sin in our heart, is God really going to forgive us for this infirmity that we're holding on to? I mean, not that we're holding on to, but that we've had. And so God also took me to First Peter. First Peter 1 verse 4. And he showed me, because I was like, man, there was this lady that was that really was praying, and we were at a prayer room, and my friend Brian preached a message, and he preached it with power. And he was telling people, we got to believe. We got to believe. Leprosy is no different from cancer. It's no different from this. If we believe, God will heal us from this. Brothers and sisters, it says right here in verse 4, 1 Peter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you. Huh? Which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened, but rejoice, he says, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. God didn't say that, you know, we weren't going to suffer. Christ suffered. He didn't say that. We might not, I mean, oh man, God did not say we weren't going to suffer. All Christ wants to do is cleanse us. That's his perfect will, to cleanse us from unrighteousness and to really follow him and to give up whatever is in our life to follow him. That's what this thing is all about. This is not about me being handicapped. This is not about me being blind. This is not about me not being able to speak. This is about my soul salvation. Jesus Christ only cares about our soul salvation. Who cares if we're blind? I'd rather be blind and make it to heaven than to not be blind and make it to hell. Jesus was going around healing people. And when he healed them, he says, what? Thy faith, because you believe in me, your faith has what? Made you whole. And what did he say next? Go and what? Sin no what? More. He didn't say don't. He didn't say go and get into an accident again so I can heal you. Huh? He said go and sin no more. Brothers and sisters, there was a lot of youth yesterday that came up here, and what did they do? They made a decision to follow Christ. It's not going to get better for you. The devil was mad. He's got his machine guns. He's ready to just, man, he's ready to take you guys out right now for that decision that you made. But guess what? The promise, beloved, brothers and sisters, think it's not strange concerning fiery trials. As some strange thing is to, you know what I mean? Think it not strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you, but rejoice. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. My youth, you guys who made a decision to follow Christ, one of my other favorite scriptures is, Simon, Simon, I put my name there. Put your name there. Lawrence, Lawrence, the devil has desired to have you that he may what? Sift you as wheat. But guess what? We're only here because Jesus Christ is praying for us, interceding. He said, because I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not, and when you become converted, what? Strengthen your brethren. Brothers and sisters, when you guys make that decision to get baptized, strengthen your brethren. Rock Ministries, Revival on Campus, that's what you do. Spread the word to everybody. This is real. Jesus loves you. The belief, if you pray for something and you don't get it, there's a condition to Mark 11, verse 24. And the condition is, if it's God's will. Whatever things you pray, believe, you shall have them. If it's God's will. God might want you to be handicapped. He might want you to, you guys get the point. I don't really, you know, the Lord just giving me the words to say, but brothers and sisters, we got to believe. My question is, do you believe? Do you believe in the word of God? Do you believe that what God says he can do, he will do, and he won't tarry, especially when it comes to him and your soul salvation? Man, isn't this exciting? All we have to do is, it's simple. Believe. That's all he says. Believe. It's simple. You don't have to go run, hop hurdles, and all this other stuff. He just says, believe. This battle is not ours. Ezekiel 14:14 says, Ezekiel 14:14 says, let me go there. I don't know why I can't remember. I'm just excited. I'm sorry. I didn't know how to believe you guys, and the Lord has been showing me how to believe in him. I'm going to look at this and be like, oh, yeah, duh. 14:14, it says, there it goes. It says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall be at peace. Brothers, we don't have to worry. The Lord has already won. He's victorious. All we have to do is believe in the word of God, brothers and sisters. That's all we got to do is believe. How much more simple can it be? And guess what? If heaven was so hard to climb that mountain, and it was really difficult, guess what? Jesus already climbed it for us. Just believe. That's all you got to do. It's simple. Dude, I'm excited. Are you guys excited? Man. Whew. Jehoshaphat. Remember when the battle? Jehoshaphat. Turn with me to 2nd. Oh, man, God is good. 2nd Chronicles chapter 20. Remember when the Ammons and the Amalekites and the Moab, they were coming to basically go to battle, and they were going to come and take over Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat, look what he says. He said in verse 3, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I looked up that word set. You know what that word set means? To get in a natural position. What's the natural position to seek God? In prayer. The only way that we can overcome, Spirit of Prophecy says that what you don't overcome will overcome you. And how do you overcome? By praying, entering into God's presence. That's the only way. And look what, I love this. In verse 15, it says, 20 verse 15, look at the, in the, in the end of 14, it says the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. And in verse 15, it says, and he said, hearken ye, all Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle's not yours. Our mind is constantly at enmity with God, the Bible says. We can't change our heart, but God can. And how is he going to be able to do that? By going to him in prayer, seeking his face. Woo! Believe. That's all we have to do is believe. Man, just believe. That's all we have to do. And then I love verse 17 again. In the end of verse 17, it says, fear not, nor be dismayed, nor morrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Brother Lawrence. You've been through a lot in your life, and I'm pretty sure there's Sister Gina. She's been through a lot. A couple of students here I've talked to has been through a lot in her life. But God has won the battle for us. There's nothing else. So simple. All we have to do is believe. I challenge you guys. Do you guys believe? Is that your heart's desire to believe today? Is that your desire to seek God's face? If my people, which were called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. How do you seek God's face? By prayer, entering into his presence. I read a quote from Spirit of Prophecy on privilege of prayer. You know what she said? I read it to you guys. I'm going to paraphrase it. Whether you guys want to believe it or not, Jesus Christ is bending over you, and his invisible hand is on you. Not to take away the infirmities. His hand is on you to take away the sin. Amen. Believe. That's all we have to do is believe. Woo! Hey, I wish I could dance up here. I mean, it's just so exciting. It's just amazing. It's so simple. But yet we try to make this thing so complicated. Oh, I gotta do this. I gotta be a vegan. I gotta keep the Sabbath. Oh, man, did you see so-and-so? They're totally eating cheese. Are you serious? What is going on with them? But it says we missed the point. It's not about that. Love is the fulfillment of the law. I'm sorry. Holy Spirit is speaking through me. This is not me. I don't even know how to articulate words well. I don't even know what that word means. You guys are laughing, but I'm really being serious. I just heard somebody use it, and it kind of makes sense. Man. Brother, we're going to have a talk later, whoever that was. Brothers and sisters, listen to this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Brothers, is there any wickedness in our heart? Search us, O God. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, what is your desire today? Ask yourself, ask the Lord, what is my desire today? Is it my desire to believe? I ask you, what is your desire? Is that your desire to, if that's your desire, raise your hands. If your desire today is to believe God in his word, amen. All you got to do is believe and you'll receive them and you'll have them. Brothers and sisters, it's nice to have nice cars, a nice house. It's pretty cool. But is that your desire? I challenge you for your desire to be Jesus, because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Seek Jesus in prayer, brothers and sisters. Seek his face, his beautiful face. So when it comes time, and tomorrow's promised to no one, and that day comes, you'd be seeking his face so much, when you open your eyes, you're going to see his face with a smile on your face. Amen? Brothers and sisters, you can't always have what you want. Why settle for less when you can have the best? And the best is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Sorry, that's all that the Lord gave me today. At this time, Pastor Ken, he's going to do the closing prayer and stuff. We have a baptism, praise the Lord. So at this time, he's going to do the baptism.
My absolute favorite thing to do as a pastor is baptisms. It's a new life coming into Jesus. And last night, the invitation was made to our student body to consider whether they needed to be baptized, whether that was something that God was calling on them to do. And we had a number of people come forward and do that. And I believe that the baptism that we're seeing today, Lawrence and Tiana, are the first fruits of what I believe will be many, many decisions to follow Jesus, whether they get into the baptismal tank or whether they were just rededicating their lives. I've never been big on keeping track of how many baptisms I've done or how many people are baptized during a week of prayer, because to me, the final head count's done in heaven.
Amen.
And it isn't just one single person who ever contributes to another person's salvation. The only reason any of us experience salvation is because of Jesus Christ. He is the reason why there is salvation, and the rest of us are just faithful servants doing the part that God has given us to do. And Lawrence and Tiana, I'm thankful for the part that you've done this week, and I look forward to seeing the harvest that God's going to raise up with the rain and with his growing power. Thank you for the message you shared. At this time, I'd like to invite Serena to come down into the baptismal tank with me. Serena, last night you came up to me and you told me that you'd been baptized before. You told me, though, that you really felt like you needed to be rebaptized. And I wonder if you would be willing to share a little bit of what you shared with me, with the congregation. Explain to them why you feel rebaptism is an important thing for you today.
Well, about a year ago, I started going through a really, really hard time in my life. I started going through depression. And it started about now, actually, last year, and throughout fall it steadily got worse. And at first I thought everything would be okay, because I thought, since Christmas is such a happy holiday, that when it came that I would just be happy and everything would be okay again. But nothing changed, and I just became more and more depressed. And I started to think that maybe God wasn't real, and if he was real, that between all the wonderful things that he created, he had to forget something, and that something was me. On January 8th of this year, actually, after everyone was asleep and I had cried some, I wanted it to end. I didn't want to be depressed anymore, and I didn't feel like my life was worth living. And so I went into our kitchen, and I knew we had some medication in our cabinet that if I took an overdose of it, that it would probably kill me. And I went and I took the bottle, but something told me to wait a little while. And so I went back to my room, and I took my Bible out, and I said, God, if you want me to stay here, then show me something. And I opened it right up to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to hurt you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And instantly, I started crying tears of joy instead of sadness. And from then on, I got steadily better and have renewed my relationship with Christ. But because of that, I want to wash my slate clean again and become fully his and publicly tell you this and show you this.
Serena's mom is here today. What's your mom's name?
Lori.
Lori, would you stand up? Would you mind standing for us? Oh, there she is. You know what? If you want to come up so that you can get a good picture, you're welcome to come on up. Otherwise, I'm going to ask Serena, I asked Serena if she wanted everybody to come forward, and she didn't. I think maybe she'd feel a little bit claustrophobic, so kind of respect that. But if you want to tell Serena that she's your friend and that you support her in the decisions she's making today, I'd like you to raise your hand for her to see. Would you do that? Got a lot of hands out there for you, Serena. And what I also want to do is invite all of you to really enter into this worship experience, because this is a worship experience that we're going to do right now. I want you to be praying for Serena. I want you to be asking God to help her remain faithful. I want you to be asking God to send His Spirit into her to help her do what she's not capable of. Final question before I baptize you, I want to ask you is, Serena, do you believe?
Definitely.
All right, I'm going to pray. Let's go ahead and bow our head. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is such an amazing thing to be able to be a pastor and to do this. It's such a privilege. I pray that the people who are here would really consider whether or not you're calling them to get baptized, to get rebaptized if that's appropriate, or to really partake in a serious way in a communion service that also symbolizes the recommitment and rededication of our life. Lord, there's so many here that I know that they need to be making this choice, and yet they're just kind of putting it off. Lord, as I baptize Serena, Lord, I just pray that you would give them a vision of what you're calling them to. I pray these things in your name. If you need to make that decision, do not put it off. Do not put it off. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. One of the things I really appreciate about Lawrence's week of prayer is it's not been about feelings. It's about decisions and choices. It's a choice. If you know you need to be choosing this, choose it. There's a Bible text that says, I hold before you today life and death. Choose life. Do it. Don't wait. You will never, ever, ever get your life right enough. If Lawrence had waited until his life was right, he would not be here today. That's why we got to be careful about how judgmental we are of people. We got to be careful, because we're all called to come to Jesus, and it looks different, and the path isn't just, whoop, one day you're imperfect, and the next day, oh, you're all but perfect. It's not like that. It's a steady process of growth. Don't put it off. Make the choice to grow. Make the choice. Pastor Fred, Pastor Sid, Pastor Chelsea, myself, any of the teachers, if you know that you need to make that choice, talk to them. Church members, if you know you need to make that choice, talk to someone. Talk to me. Talk to one of our elders. Talk to someone and make that choice. We are a community. We are a body. There's a reason why church is important. It's because together we enter into the body of Christ. Let somebody else in that body know that that's the decision that you need to make today. I am so thankful for the decision that Serena has made today. If you need to make that decision, you make it too. But let it be your choice. And I would invite you to greet Serena out in the lobby and tell her just how proud you are of her and the decision that she made today, and welcome her back again fully into the body of Christ. May God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful Sabbath day and this spiritual high, Father, and just the baptism. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much, and we just praise your holy name. Father, please be with us as we go throughout this week, Father, and I pray that this spiritual high will stay with us through the rest of this year and to all eternity, Father. Please bless each and every one of us and help us to always remember to believe in you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.